Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Kevin, let's talk about backcourts that are just killing it in the NBA right now. Obviously, Luka and Kyrie, Booker and Beal.
Steph and Clay. Throw in CP3 into that mix too.
You just said CP3, as in Chris Paul. Do you remember how he was traded to the Lakers only to have the deal overturned by the commissioner of the NBA, David Stern?
Do I remember? I mean, come on. I'm a Lakers season ticket holder. I was deep in it. Just the thought of Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant playing together, it rocked the entire hoops world.
Welcome to BS. We're taping this on a Friday afternoon, the day after. I don't want to say the NBA died, but something super traumatic happened. The Chris Paul trade was canceled.
And that's why it's one of the biggest what-if moments in all of sports.
What would have happened if the Black Mamba and the point guard were allowed to join forces on the Lakers?
Instead of, will Chris Paul ever get a ring, the question would be, how many does he have?
And does Kobe end the GOAT debate forever? I think there's some interesting twists and turns in this, Trey.
But more importantly, Kevin, does the banana boat ever exist?
Banana boat? Forget that. How does this all affect the Kardashian empire?
What?
Think about that. From Wondery, I'm Kevin Frazier.
Well, see, now I'm really intrigued. And I'm Trey Wingo, and this is Alternate Routes. That's the butterfly effect for real. Yeah, nothing left to say, I gotta make it happen. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, never see the action. Just keep it real. That's the butterfly effect for real.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
All right, here's how this show works. Each week, we'll bust open the sliding doors and a different iconic what-if moment in sports.
And then we'll follow every ripple effect and play out every woulda, coulda, shoulda scenario you can think of. Now, today's big question, what if the NBA never stopped Chris Paul from joining the Lakers? Trey, let's get right into it. What's your first alternate route with Chris Paul playing alongside Kobe Bryant?
The easiest one to think of is that the Lakers have arguably the greatest backcourt in the history of the NBA. I mean, you have Kobe and CP3 and their intensity and leadership. I don't know if we've ever seen a situation where he had the best shooting guard and at that point, the best point guard playing together. And because they're so dominant, let's just throw this out there, the Splash Brothers with Steph, Curry, and Klay, they never get to where they are because they're going to have to go through the Lakers with Kobe and CP3.
Let me say this, okay? Having lived that moment, that Lakers team was pretty doggone good. And we forget about all the pieces that they already had that they were going to jettison. First of all, Pau Gasol, he was going to be gone. You were going to lose Lamar. The Lakers may never win another championship with Kobe, even if they get CP3. And here's why. Because you come out of the box and you say, well, you lose Pau, you lose the reigning sixth man of the year, Lamar Odom, who handled the ball late in games and was a big piece of that team. You are left with Andrew Bynum. What we know now in hindsight is that he was playing bone on bone in those knees. So there was no way that he was going to last and hold up over 82 games to support that team as their big man. There was also rumored that they were going to bring in Dwight Howard because they would have had enough under the salary cap to bring in another superstar. But wait a minute. This wasn't Dwight Howard, the Superman. This was Dwight Howard, the mere mortal. And what we also know is that when Dwight finally arrived in L.A., if I can quote Kobe Bryant, nothing made me appreciate Shaq more than Dwight Howard.
You know, it is interesting, right? Because you think of it and you just look at Chris Paul's skill set and you look at obviously what Kobe had been doing and you think, well, put those together, it's going to work. But there is an element to building a team, right? And understanding everybody's role in that team structure. And the way it worked with Kobe before the whole CP3 trade, everyone understood what they were supposed to do. And there is an idea that if you get these two ball-dominant players, if you're the point guard, you're ball-dominant. And if you're Kobe, you're always ball-dominant. So there is an element to the idea of, okay, let's just put stars together and it's going to work. Well, no, because there has to be a deferential pecking order. And how much do you think that would have been a problem for CP3 and Kobe together?
The Lakers tried the superstar route, and it didn't work when they had Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, and Kobe? What? What more do you need? Didn't work out, did it?
You need role players.
Like Ben Wallace, who they ran into. They lost to Detroit in the finals because of Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton. That crew that had a bunch of role players and a couple of superstars that got them over the hump.
So what's your first sort of alternate route here then?
My first alternate route is kind of flying in the face of what I just said, but it's okay. Follow me and rock with me, Trey, all right?
I got you. I'm with you.
Gilbert Arenas ends up being a Laker.
Agent Zero goes to LA?
Yes, because Gilbert was supposed to be a part of that Dwight Howard deal. Orlando wanted to unload a bunch of money, and Gilbert on his podcast said, look, I was going to go along with Dwight to LA. So now you have Gilbert, you have Chris Paul, you have Kobe, and you have Dwight. Just imagine that. You have an incredible team because there was enough money under the salary cap for the Lakers to pay four superstars. And that's what annoyed Mark Cuban so much. He was like, listen, you're going to be able to pay all these guys. They're all going to be able to play. And the Lakers will put together a super team. I'm just saying, Gilbert Arenas back home in LA, you're adding that much more firepower. It changes the balance in the Western Conference.
Gilbert, as we all know, is kind of a loose cannon, for lack of a better term, right? Would he have been okay back in LA, back around all those people that he's known forever? And I feel like it would have been really easy for him to get distracted. So I guess Kobe would have had to really sort of make sure he kept him in check, right?
And that's the big thing is like Kobe, we saw in the second half of his career and then later on after he played, really was a mentor to so many players.
Meta world peace.
But early on, Kobe had issues with dudes. And if he had issues with you, he gave you the Kobe death stare. I can't tell you how many nights I just sat there looking at him, looking at people that like he wanted to just strangle them. That was Kobe's thing. He felt everyone should be working as hard as he's working.
He gave it to Shaq. I mean, like he made sure Shaq left LA. So that totally makes sense. All right, here's my next one. How about this? LeBron James, instead of winning rings with three different franchises, basically becomes the Buffalo Bills of the NBA and is perpetually chasing the ring instead of getting the ring. The year after the trade, the Lakers lost to OKC in the playoffs. OKC went to the finals, lost to Miami. If that trade happens, Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant basically face Miami in the finals and taking down a young OKC team. Then CP3 becomes a hero and a champion by the age of 27. Kobe has six rings. He ties Jordan's overall total. And LeBron is now 0-3 in the finals, and the doubts exist. What's the title nobody wants in sports? The best to never have done it. The best golfer to never win a major. The best baseball player without a World Series ring. The best football player without a Super Bowl ring. LeBron James becomes the poster child for the best player to never be able to put one of these on his finger.
I have to disagree because he's LeBron James, and he would have gone somewhere. I think LeBron would have found a home where he could have won. He has played so well for so long that he would have gotten the ring. What happened to these other guys is that eventually they ran out of gas. And once they ran out of gas, it was over. And they couldn't help a team get a championship. So they were just a little extra piece. LeBron has been the centerpiece for his entire career and hasn't slowed down. So I think that's why he would have won a championship by now.
What's your next alternate route?
This was a tough one for me because I am such a Lamar Odom fan.
By the way, that's a real thing. Just so everybody knows, he is speaking from the heart. Lamar Odom and your friendship is true, real, and spectacular.
Yes, I love Lamar. And even though he put some things in his book I didn't like, but he was ghostwritten, so it's okay. I'm still down with Lamar. And I think that if he's traded to New Orleans and it works out, that that team is better than you think. And that team competes in the West against the Lakers because they're that good. Lamar, Goran Dragic, Luis Scola, they had a couple of other pieces that were there, but Lamar was the reigning sixth man of the year. And what a difference maker he was on the floor because, again, remember, he's a big at 6'11", damn near 7 feet, who can handle the ball, he can rebound, he can do it all, he can shoot, he can score from multiple places. He had even expanded his game to shoot the three. Lamar, when that trade was announced, lost a little piece of himself. And by losing a little piece of himself, he was never the same. He was never the same player.
He went to the Bunny Ranch, right?
Everything led to the Bunny Ranch. But even Matt Barnes said that things were off in the locker room after that trade didn't go down. So it was important that he get out the door. I think that if they go ahead and this trade pushes through and Lamar gets over it and they get in his head and they talk to him, that New Orleans team ends up being one of the best teams in the West and competes for a championship.
And we don't have the sort of the lather, rinse, repeat a few years later of Anthony Davis leaving the small market team to go to LA and, again, in the COVID bubble, go ahead and win a championship. All right, let me just throw one more at you here.
Throw one more at me.
Kevin Durant went to Golden State and won a championship there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going there, he goes to the Lakers and becomes the next great Laker, the Slim Reaper in LA. It's 2016. The Lakers, not the Warriors, win that epic Western Conference final. Fed up with losing and, you know, trying to get where he needs to be. Kevin Durant decides if you can't beat him, join him. So he writes a thing on the Players Tribune, blah, blah. I'm taking my talents to Los Angeles. He arrives just in time. CP3 is still, what, only 34 in this scenario? But Kobe takes the role of 2022 Klay Thompson, hitting big shots. And then you have KD coming in there, doing what he needs to do at the end. He finally wins the ring, the finals MVP, and the title of best player alive. But he's never really respected, much in the same way that it sort of worked out in Golden State, because they had the best record before he got there. He was just an addendum to get a ring. He does that in LA instead of up in San Francisco in the Bay Area.
That's why this is called alternate routes.
Because
I can't envision KD being in LA. It doesn't work. He doesn't fit. And remember this, and this is what everybody forgets. The Lakers didn't have a great bench back then. What they had is great pieces. Matt Barnes was a great piece. Lamar was a great piece. Powell was a great piece. Kobe was the ringmaster.
Literally.
You had folks who worked well together, but they didn't have a great bench. So as you make this move, all of a sudden, where'd the bench go? Who's going to help KD? Would it have been great that Kobe Bryant could have retired on a team that won more than 17 games? Hell yes. That sucked. But you know what? The way the Mamba went out in that last game was beautiful. It was epic. I can't envision KD ever being there.
KD is going to do whatever KD wants to do. That much we've learned. And he doesn't give a you-know-what about anybody else's opinion. All right, so now let's get crazy. We've sort of been dealing in the realm of sports and basketball with a side trip to the Bunny Ranch. Thank you again, Lamar. Let's go nuts, okay? Give me your wildest, most out there, like, what did you just say scenario if this trade wasn't vetoed?
If this trade isn't vetoed, it impacts the Kardashian empire. As a matter of fact, it may have started to crumble because of this trade.
Help me out here, okay? I do not understand this one.
The Kardashians are living their best life. Lamar is winning championships. Courtside, there's Kim and Khloe and the little sisters and everybody taking pictures. What you have to understand and remember is that before he met Khloe Kardashian, Lamar Odom had zero endorsements. I remember Lamar coming onto a red carpet at the MTV VMAs and nobody knew who he was. And he had just won a championship. He had a ring and people were like, who's that guy? Nobody knew. And I was like, it's Lamar Odom, guys. This guy is one of the best players in the NBA. Everybody should stop him and interview him. A few weeks later, he meets Khloe Kardashian and boom, it's like a mushroom cloud. He explodes. He gets his first ever endorsement. Cashews or pistachios, I can't remember. It was a Kris Jenner special. She pulled it together, but they get this endorsement. Then Lamar gets a show. It's amazing, right? Lamar and Khloe have this show. Everything is going well, right? This trade comes along and they have to go to New Orleans. When they go to New Orleans, and if Lamar turns out to be the same Lamar that he was, everything unravels in New Orleans. Maybe Chloe comes back to LA. And it ends in that time frame afterwards when everything unraveled and they were back here in LA. Lamar and Chloe, their divorce, their demise, all the madness, it kept them on the front page of TMZ. And not long after all this went down in 2015, after Lamar's career ended and he was just minutes away from the Bunny Ranch, they signed a $100 million deal. And part of that, a huge part of that $100 million deal was Lamar and Chloe and their ability to take some of the heavy lifting from Kim and, well, whatever husband she was married to. But what I'm saying to you is that it would be like Kobe not having anybody on his side to help him like he did in that last season. The Kardashians wouldn't have had anybody to help Kim. They wouldn't have had any other drama. Kendall was still too young. You couldn't have her up there making headlines. So the whole thing could have imploded. Instead, it imploded into dollars for them because Lamar's demise really was a storyline through and through with Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No, it was a boon for the show, no question about it. And for people that say that's crazy, just listen to what Travis Kelce said. He was asked once, he said, what have you learned about dating an iconic pop star that's known worldwide? And he said, being famous in Kansas City is a lot different than being famous everywhere you go in the world. We just come off the Super Bowl as we're recording this episode. It's the most watched Super Bowl in the history of the game. It's not because of the great overtime finish. Okay, let's just be honest about that. It's because of all the Swifties looking for those 55 seconds and the 12 cutaways that they put into the Super Bowl. And let me just say this, to quote Taylor Swift, all the dads, Brads, and Chads that are still upset about her being shown for 55 seconds. Get over yourselves, man. This was so good for the NFL. This was so good for Travis Kelce. So what you're saying is absolutely right, because if you want to capture an empire, you have to get the casual people interested. This trade not going down made sure that that empire got the people's and the eyeballs much in the same way the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce got the eyeballs for the Super Bowl. Okay, here's my off the map one. And this is going to offend a lot of people, and I get it, but I think it's a real thing. If this trade isn't vetoed, Donald Sterling might still be the owner of the LA Clippers.
You're so right. Oh,
the only reason that we found out about what a heinous, vile creature Donald Sterling is because CP3 went there. We had Lob City. We had Blake Griffin dunking over a car at the NBA All-Star game. The Clippers became interesting. You know, the Clippers used to be the team that Billy Crystal and Arsenio Hall rooted for because everyone else was a Lakers fan at that time, right? So there was no real impact on the Clippers, except they were obviously, arguably, the worst franchise of any professional major sports team. Okay, they were terrible, and they were owned by a terrible slumlord who was a racist in Donald Sterling. The only reason we found out about a lot of this stuff from Donald Sterling is because they got to the playoffs, and some of that stuff came out right before one of those playoff series began, and they came out in those shirts that had no words on them. They were just black. None of this might have come to the surface if CP3 didn't go to the Clippers. We still might have a Donald Sterling running an NBA franchise, and that is just the most horrific thing I can think of.
And Trey, we think back to all the things that Donald Sterling said. We think back to, I worked on a show where we were interviewing V. Stiviano, his lady love. It was Chris Paul's activism and him being a leader that really helped that team continue to play while they push Sterling out the way, because that kind of turmoil normally would make any franchise implode. But you look at how he helped that team pull it together and kind of keep it together. It's something to say about how important Chris Paul was. And also, here's the other thing. Donald Sterling was a dumpster fire. We know this. And he treated that team as if it was just something that a billionaire would have for fun. He regularly sat courtside with his friends, just having a good time, saying outrageous things to not only the opposition, but his players too. Racist and obscene things. So to get him out of there, it was like breathing fresh air into the NBA. You had gotten rid of the canker sore of the NBA.
The canker sore of professional sports, really, if you think about it.
He was the worst owner in all of professional sports.
No question.
Coming up, who struck gold and who got hosed, and the indelible moments we would have missed if they took the alternate route.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we just reshuffled NBA life in the 2010s, but let's bring it back to reality. Trey, who were the biggest winners from David Stern's veto of the Chris Paul trade?
Camping off what we just talked about, let's just say the Clippers, because they got rid of the cancer in the house, which was Donald Sterling. I mean, just automatically. And then we're all winners, not only the Clippers. Everybody's a winner because of that. Also with a big winner, and this is Kawhi Leonard, right? He was the last iteration of that great superstar franchise and that great run that Coach Pop had in San Antonio. His calling card was that 2014 Finals MVP award, which might have never happened if the Lakers were dominating the West. And let's extrapolate that a little further. If that doesn't happen, does Kawhi go north of the border and do this for an entire city and a country in Canada and have the celebration in the streets of Toronto? So the biggest winner, obviously, or one of them for me, is the Kawhi Leonard experience.
My winner, first of all, is DeAndre Jordan.
Cha-ching!
When Chris Paul arrived with the Clippers, it changed his life. I mean, DeAndre Jordan was a good player, but locking up with Chris Paul made him a difference maker. Forget all the defensive stats, like they led the league in pick and roll, defending. The most important thing that they did is they turned that team into Lob City. And Lob City was sexy. It was sexy to advertisers. It was sexy to fans. It was sexy to watch them play. All the lobs he caught from Chris Paul. I mean, who can forget the dunk on Brandon Knight that almost ended Brandon Knight's life? Oh my God. But more importantly, his bank account went through the roof. From 2011 to 2014, DeAndre averaged $10 million. That's a lot of money for a big man who doesn't score, right?
Or hit free throws.
But it set him up for the monster daddy payday in 2015 of 4 years and $87 million, where he averaged $21 million a paycheck. And all of that comes from their ability to use him in the pick and roll, and that he defended, rebounded, and caught lobs. That's all he did. There are a lot of guys who could do that in the league, but they didn't have the guy who could serve them up on a consistent basis like Chris Paul did. You know, I'm also going to say another winner is Mark Cuban, because he helped block this trade. He would go on to win an NBA championship not soon after. But most importantly, that championship and what he did with that franchise made him so much money. I mean, he was rich when he bought Dallas. When he purchased the team for a little over $300 million, we thought, wow, that's a lot of money. Ask him about the billions he just got put in his pocket. So the winner, Mark Cuban, he's on Shark Tank now, laughing his ass off, counting his billions each and every day. And he stopped Chris Paul from going to LA and maybe blocking his team from winning an NBA championship.
There's the 1%, and then there's the 1% inside the 1%, right? And that's where Mark Cuban is now because of this. And that is a very tasty place to live. Okay, so if all these people are winners, Kevin, give me somebody or someone or something you think was one of the biggest losers because this trade was vetoed.
I want to start with Chris Paul. The reason he was one of the biggest losers in this is because he's never won a championship, of course, but also because this set him on a path to Scott Foster. Scott Foster, the NBA referee, who seems to be the Chris Paul hater.
A vendetta, it seems like at times.
A deep vendetta. Now, it seems to go back to an altercation where something happened with little Chris, Chris's son, and Scott Foster, and there was some kind of altercation. That altercation led to almost a decade of Scott Foster showing up at interesting moments to deny Chris Paul not only wins, but championships. And let's go back to the NBA Finals. The Suns on a roll. They're up 2 games to none. They go to Milwaukee. They're like, we're gonna roll through this. Everybody in the world thinks that the Suns are going to win an NBA final and win an NBA championship. And we're all saying, Chris Paul's finally getting his ring. Damn it, we were celebrating it. And guess who shows up for Game 3 to officiate that game?
Scott Foster.
Now, it's not enough that Scott Foster was very tight with Tim Donaghy, who was the referee who admitted to cheating on games. It's not enough that in a podcast, Donaghy showed how certain refs could sway certain games certain ways. It's not enough that those two talked each and every day, and sometimes at halftime of games. You just have to look at, and I got to read this stat the right way. Chris's team was favored in 15 of 20 playoff games that Foster officiated. They went 3-17 and lost by an average of 11.2 points per game. Now, I'm not saying Scott Foster is cheating. I'm just saying, damn, it's the kind of things that make you go, What in the world is Scott Foster doing each and every time he steps on the court? And why does he still have this vendetta against Chris? And Chris has said that there have been words exchanged between the two of them that have said that this is a vendetta and this is a problem. Chris is the big loser.
That's not a small sample size in what you're talking about with Scott Foster. Like, that's not a one-off or a two-off. It's a 17-off. I also think one of the biggest losers in all of this were the people that thought they benefited from it early, and that would be NBA owners. You mentioned Mark Cuban. You mentioned Dan Gilbert. They were able to flex their muscles, and that's great. But eventually, it came back to them because CP3 was pissed about this, okay? And he became, as you said, an advocate for player empowerment. And suddenly, because of the commissioner sort of stepping in and vetoing this thing at the request of some of these other owners, players got pissed. CP3 got ticked off. And suddenly, the NBA union supplanted the Major League Baseball Players Association as by far and away the strongest player union. And it gave so much power to players. In the long run, the NBA owners might have won the battle because of this trade being vetoed, but they lost the war because players now dictate to owners in the NBA, and that's not even in question.
By the way, Trey, can we connect some dots real quick, and maybe that's where the Scott Foster of it all comes from? That it's like the owners are like, this dude got us, oh, but we got him forever. Because it just seems to me so bizarre that all of a sudden Phoenix is up 2-0 and Scott Foster shows up. Chris, you're on a roll, but Scott Foster's here. Can I name another loser? Trey?
Do it.
I thought that another loser was Phil Jackson.
That's a great point, actually.
Phil Jackson would have mentored that team, and maybe they would have found other pieces that could have helped them eventually win. I don't think they would have immediately won because there weren't enough pieces there, but eventually I think they could have won. Phil Jackson would have now been the coach with the most NBA championships, more than Red Auerbach. Once that didn't happen, and once Jim Buss took over, everything started to go sideways. We know that Phil and Jeannie Buss, they dated, they had a relationship, everything was fine, he wanted to stay. It would have stopped him from having that disastrous run as the Knicks GM. It would have saved him from that.
When he wasn't even in New York, by the way. He wasn't even in the state.
Phil's like, I'll see you when I see you.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, so many things in the front office went wrong too. I mean, Jim Buss took over when Dr. Jerry Buss passed away, and he pushed his sister out of the way for a second. And I have to say that I believe that Jeannie Buss is one of the greatest executives in NBA history, if not the greatest female executive in professional sports. Time was lost by pushing her out of the way. She was so good. And time was lost by pushing Phil out of the way. And that, what a difference it would have made if Phil had stuck around.
Instead, he just...
He took the Dolan's money in New York.
Took the Dolan dough and never showed up. I respect it on so many levels.
And let me just tell you a story. When I was a little kid, my father was an assistant with the Knicks when Phil played for the Knicks.
By the way, Hawthorne Wingo on that team. Just want to throw that out there. Hawthorne Wingo was on that team. Come on.
I'm at the game one night. I'm sitting across from the bench. Phil gets up to go in the game, and the fans start booing. I mean, they're booing loud. And Phil turns around and gives the crowd the finger. Now, this is before you have every game on TV. And this is before, you know, of course, you have replays and cameras everywhere. And Phil could turn around and give the fans the finger. It was a love-hate relationship in New York. And when he landed back in New York, a lot of people saw him as the savior, but also some people saw him as this crazy wild man who showed back up and was going to screw the Knicks, and it never worked out. All right, so let's think about this, Trey. What are some of the things that we would have missed in a world where CP3 and the Mamba have teamed up?
This one's kind of crazy, but I think we all will admit if this hadn't happened, we'd all be lesser for it. Steve Ballmer dancing. Like, Steve Ballmer dancing. It's the most hilariously awful dad thing ever. And it only happens because the Clippers became relevant. Donald Sterling had to sell the team, and suddenly we have a lot of eyeballs. I mean, if all this went the other way, maybe Steve Ballmer buys the Hawks, Atlanta. No one cares, right? No one cares. But because he bought the Clippers and he came from Microsoft and all that stuff and everything else, those dancing videos that he had when he was in business with those other people, and him being just this crazy, gyrating, balding, slightly paunchy middle-aged dude, that makes me laugh every time I see it. So I don't want to live in a world where I didn't know sweaty, balding, paunchy Steve Ballmer is about to bust a vertebrae every time a good song comes on.
That's wild that that is your moment.
Oh, I have my issues. Let's be clear. I have my issues.
It's interesting, but I think that what we would have missed is LeBron and AD in LA right now, if this had gone through, because New Orleans would have been good enough for a long time. Because remember, that squad would have been just good enough to win games, but they wouldn't have been good enough to win a championship. And if you think about it, you would have had Lamar, Scola, Dragic, Kelvin Martin. So they would have won games. They would have competed, but they wouldn't have won a championship. So you never get to draft AD. AD never goes to New Orleans, breaks everybody's heart, and then ends up in LA. AD could have gone somewhere else where it could have stuck and worked. And LeBron, meanwhile, if he's here in LA, does he come without a guarantee that someone like AD is coming? Look, I know everybody says there's no conspiracies here. Y'all, stop it. He's not going to just show up and say, I'm going to go to LA because I want to make movies and do everything. I don't care whether I have a team around me. No, LeBron's a winner. He wants winners around him. So I believe that, you know, there was a deal already set in place there and they knew AD was coming. And of course, it's the Rich Paul of it all. But I digress. I just think you wouldn't have had those two hooking up in LA. And that's another championship you would have lost, even though it's a bubble championship. I get it. Before you yell at me, I know it's a bubble championship, damn it, but it's still a championship.
I mean, they still gave out rings. And lastly, before we move on, I'll just say we might have missed out on the whole banana boat thing, right? That's another image. Again, you're Trey, being way more serious at this point.
Where the hell are you coming up with this stuff from? The banana boat, Steve Ballmer dancing?
Well, first of all, I'm an old white dude, so I dance like that. And number two, I'm looking at the water, and the banana boat came to mind. So like the banana boat thing, I mean, we all got a good laugh out of the banana boat thing, right? So we can see the past pretty well, but there's still some lingering questions we can't answer yet. So, Kevin, just give me one thing that's on your mind.
Everybody wonders if Kobe would have now been considered the greatest player of all time. And it bugs me to no end, because if you get him over the hump with bringing in CP3, but I don't know if that's an addition, because he had his brother, Pau Gasol, there. He had Lamar, who was helping him. He had Derek Fisher. They had Matt Barnes. I thought that that was a solid group, and I don't think one person was going to change all of that. If you also look at the Lakers with the Steve Nash experiment, it didn't work out. I don't know that this experiment would have worked out, but I do know that, boy, if he could have got one more championship, maybe Kobe Bryant is considered the GOAT.
One more would have tied him with Michael for sure. All right. That's all the what-ifs and what it could have been, but now it's back to life, back to reality. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, let us know what we've missed. I'm at Wingos on X, and he's at Kevin Frazier.
Send us all of the biggest, wildest, and most agonizing sports what-if questions that you'd like us to cover on the show, and we'll throw them in the alternate routes machine for a future episode.
And that's it for this episode. We'll see you down the road on Alternate Routes. That's the butterfly effect for real. Yeah, nothing left to say, I gotta make it happen. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, never see the action. Just keep it real. It's like butterfly effect for real. Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to every episode of Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.